Good morning. Thank you, Annie. Do you know, I learned that from Nigel Ring, and it works. Isn't it amazing? Well, welcome to everybody. It's really good to see you. To this redemption. No, it's not redemption. Goodness me, I've got the wrong... You've got me indoctrinated, Steve. Referral training day. It's really good, actually, because there's some faces here I actually don't know, which is brilliant. And there's lots of faces who I know were here with us last year. And we're hoping, actually, that the guys who've heard some of this material before then will get alongside some of you new guys and we'll be able to really help and support you. Because I know for those of us last year when we started, it's all a little bit, you know, oh my goodness, what have I let myself in for? But you will enjoy it, I promise you. Today is going to be a fantastic day. We've got some really good trainers who are also nervous, you'll be pleased to hear, which is also good because it means that then they're totally dependent on God to really help them come up with the goods. So it's going to be a pretty full day, although you probably have noticed that we've actually cut the finish time of today back till 4 p.m. We decided that 5 p.m. was just a little bit too long. But honestly, you've really got some good things. I know Jackie's starting with the first session, then we've got the Irene doing some pretty amazing stuff, and then Liz and Lee are doing some sessions as well, which I'm always excited when Liz and Lee are here. And Irene and Jack as well, of course. I'd just be really good. Just before we start, I'm just going to pray and really ask that God will help both the trainers and help each one of us, because we're really going to need to focus on what's actually coming up this morning. So, Father, I thank you even now for your presence with us, Lord God. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that today would be just an amazing day in your presence, Lord God. I do pray for Jack, for Irene, and for Liz and Lee, that they would just know your enabling and the presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you'd help to settle any nerves that they may have, but those nerves would just turn them to you, Lord God. So be with us today, I pray. Lord, I do pray that at the end of it, each one of us would know that we've learnt many things and we've encountered you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Oh, it's so nice. You may be kind of sitting there thinking, what have I signed up to? What am I doing? So I'm just going to tell you what you're doing. And I kind of just want to very quickly say to you, you're not going to get hold of everything in your head all in one go. I don't know. Well, unless you've got an amazing brain, because I know it probably takes me 3 or 4 times to hear something before I kind of really get it, understand it, and maybe even can put something into action. So don't get fretty about anything, all right? Because there will be notes that we'll put on the group. There's going to be PowerPoints that you can stare at and try to make sense of. And you can talk to one another as well. You can be friendly. So I just want you to relax. Take all the kind of stressy stuff out of it. So you're kind of thinking, oh, what's this? This is pastoral training track whereby we kind of want to pass on to you as many skills and tools as we can to make us good at pastoring at CCK. So this is us, bringing good pastoral care to a growing church, mobilising the church to care for the community, establishing good ethical guidelines that stand up to scrutiny. You'll find, if you ever talk to Nigel Waller, he's looking into the way that we look after our data. So there are kind of all sorts of things going on beneath the surface of this. But you haven't got to worry your head too much about that, because we're the ones that have got to tick the boxes and make sure we're squeaky clean. But those are the things that are going on. So we do need to stand up to scrutiny in the city. Growing in knowledge and understanding of people, healing the sick, comforting those who mourn, bringing believers to maturity. And one of my favourite scriptures, Isaiah 61, which you can look up later. Love, know, speak and do have been our guiding kind of tenets for the last couple, 3 years. As people who have done redemption, you'll kind of understand how this sort of all sits, and that it's most important that we get to love, we come to love people before we start to try to tell them what to do. And we get to know people before we do anything about telling them what to do. And if anything, we're not even trying to tell them what to do. What we're trying to do is help them to understand what's going on in their lives. And we do that by coming alongside, getting to know them, loving them, helping them feel secure, safe, and so on. And that's when the do happens. It's when they get it. So coming alongside people is so important. And it's just what Jesus did. When you think about the woman at the well, and all of the times that you read about when Jesus came alongside people and just loved them, spoke a word that was just so timely, wasn't full of prescription, it was just perfect for them. So we're seeking the Holy Spirit as well. So we're helping people to work through crisis, responding to very diverse needs. You can imagine how diverse they are across a church of over 1,000, 1,300, 1,400, whatever it is. And when we think about it, we're talking about growing to a church of 2,000, 3,000, and so on. We're looking at a lot of care. So diverse needs. Working alongside our small group leaders or key other group members who can come alongside us, learn from us, be with us. So supporting good care within the sites. We're trying to support our site leaders in everything that they're trying to do and looking after their people. So we've got certain people among us who are gifted in working with couples. Not everyone can do that. It's a very specific kind of way of working. We won't all do that, but some will. So we won't be asking all of you to do that. It wouldn't be okay. There's a certain kind of way of being, and some people are trained to do that, but that's what will happen. Also, just to say that we won't all be working with under 18s either, because there are guidelines about that. So that's kind of thinking about the ethical bit and standing up to scrutiny. You have to have special training to do that too. So you'll be working with anybody between 18 and 118. All of this is happening coordinated by our site referral team leaders, and I'll explain a little bit more about that in a moment. There are little teams across every single site across CCK, which we've managed to kind of put together and set up, and we're really thrilled about this because it's happening in across all of our sites. And we are responsible to the site leader and the pastoral teams. These are the people that we need to go to when we can't. We really shouldn't be working with certain things. So there may be the site pastoral teams work with the site leaders to actually make decisions about what happens for people. And sometimes we do actually need to bring in social services. It's not our, we're not social services. Neither are we the mental health teams. We have a specific remit. We can work pastorally with people, but we're not specialists in any of those ways. We can pray for people, but we can't bring psychiatric help, etc., etc. So I want you to understand that we're playing safe. We are working safely. Adult, children, counselling and therapy, the same thing goes. Sometimes we need to get legal help, and sometimes we need to get medical advice. And I just want you to know that all of that list there, that's not you. You don't have to worry about that. And all of those things, we kind of sit under Steve Wolford and Steve Horn and pastoral elders who make those kinds of calls on certain things. When we're a bit stuck, we talk with the guys who are very wise, and they have access to people who have great wisdom as well. So sitting in some of those teams would be people with medical experience, psychiatric experience, social work experience, etc. So we do have a great kind of a strand of people within our teams that can advise us really well. How do referrals happen? You probably know this, but I'll just say it again. Prayer teams on Sundays often are our first line of contact with people. Sometimes you'll find that you're praying with somebody and you think, actually, this is a bit bigger than I think we can do anything about on, you know, 5 minutes on a Sunday isn't going to quite cut it, but we'll do what we can and we'll pray, but actually let's think about whether this person needs to chat to somebody a little bit further. So then we might talk about, well, maybe this is something that we need to unpack a little bit. And then there's a form in the box where the badges are kept, which you can fill out with that person, and then you can hand that form to your team leader or the elder who's on duty, and they will pass it to us so that we can make a referral to somebody. So that's one route, and that's quite a well-used route, actually. They also might come through our small groups or the site pastoral teams, and there may be an elder's recommendation, and I can't think of any others at the minute, but you might come up with something. But either way, it's well considered and thought through about what would be the best help for people. And look, this is a really pretty picture that Irene and Keith put together, and I think it's amazing. And if for those of you who are kind of visual and pictorial, this is the I like this. This suits my head. So just take that in. And you'll get a picture of this on one of our leaflets so that you can look at it further. Sadly, we can't get the jumping up and down person on your leaflet. Because of the way that we're working, we have to have a degree of paperwork. We try to avoid it as much as we can, but we've got to. We've got to tick some boxes just to make it all safe and right. Because we're such a huge company of people, we have to do this. I think it's a little bit different when you're working within a small church. We're a big church, and we need to know that everything's kind of okay and squeaky clean, ethically directed, and so on and so forth. So we've got some paperwork. We've had to do that. And so I'll show you some of that paperwork at some point. I'm going to give you a couple of leaflets that we're using currently. They haven't yet been signed off entirely because they've got to be kind of ticked and everything else. But this is what we're using at the moment. We've got one called Pastoral Care at CCK, and which sort of explains all the types of different routes that the things that there are. And the other one is referral, which is which explains exactly what referral is, and it talks about data protection and confidentiality so that we are actually getting it right. So I'll give those out to you in a little while. So these are the kind of things that happen. There's a request form that happens. Risk assessment, which is managed by the team leaders. Sounds a bit kind of, oh my goodness, but we do have to do risk assessments and managements and so on. Again, I just want you to know that that goes on beneath everything, that you're undergirded and it's safe and you're looked after. You don't have to worry about it. We have to think about that. There's an agreement form, which we need people to sign and just say that that this is what they're going for. And we have a start form, a mid form, so how's things going? And we have an end form just to say that this little bit of work is done. And then we try to get some feedback. Don't always get feedback, but we try. It helps us to develop. So, look, it's jumped. Bother. No, it's all right. Okay, so these are the team leaders across CCK, and I'll just let you look at that. So whichever site you're in, these are the people that will be keeping an eye on you, watching you, praying for you, looking after you, and giving you some guidance. We're looking at the consultant supervisors there. We're putting in little people, safeguard people there, which is us, which will help you to kind of keep straight and on track and look after the way that you're working. So we would check up with you that you're doing okay and what kind of stuff that you might be doing and so on. So I think that's kind of self-explanatory. I'll put it on the site so that you so you've got that information. But just take a note of who your leaders are. Okay? And these are the training dates you need to write down. While you're doing that, I'll just say the team leaders do have a job description. They know what their remit is with their team. And they are trained in assessments as well. I've just scared them to death now. So when you see them, give them a hug, because they're now scared. But they're brilliant. And when we get together again, I'll just explain this very quickly. The 29th of March one will be a day where we're hoping that we're going to cover subjects such as working with grief, bereavement, addictions. We want to look at self-harm, mental illness, relationships are in there as well. Now, it's a lot of stuff, and we're going to have to decide what goes where on which days. But that's our only Saturday now. That's it. Because the rest of the time that we meet will be on a rotation. Well, because you're a big group, we're going to work in three groups of 20-ish. There will be 5 Mondays throughout the 2 terms, term 2 and 3, where we'll be inviting you to come along with your group of 20. So you do get split up. Couples will get split up, I'm telling you now. That will help with babysitting, but it also help with you not to kind of feel like a little bit self-conscious. So there will be some splitting up. That will be at the villas. So we've got space there to do some work, and we'll do some very kind of hands-on stuff. We'll work with one another. We'll do some what we call a kind of goldfish bowl type experience as well, where you see other people working and you can just learn a bit from that. And that begins at the end of January. So what I'm going to do is, once we know exactly who's coming, and I think most of you are, but not all of you are, because some of you here are like on prayer teams, or you're doing the training track because you're really interested in it, but you can't do referral at this point. So that's fine. But you, so the Mondays are going to be for those people who are going to continue on through the year. And as Pete said at the beginning, some of you did last year, our guinea pig year, when we were learning about what works, what doesn't really work, etc., etc. We really want those people to get alongside the new people so that they can build in confidence and just encourage them and pray for them. So we'll probably sort out a buddying system of some sort where you can look after one another. And I think that's as much as I want to say for the moment, because I'm going to hand over to Irene.
Thanks, Jack.
You're right.
Yep.
You're right.
Yep. So that's all the kind of structure. Now, I want to look at the overall picture of what sort of guiding the thinking behind the training. Some of that will have come out in what Jack's brought, so there'll be a little bit of overlapping, but some of it will sort of bring a bit more detail. And I'm not good at this, managing these slides and things like that, so just bear with me. So hi, everybody.
Hi.
It's so amazing to see so many familiar faces, and know that we've been often in these settings together over a long period of time, so it's great. There's some real depth of knowledge in God and experience with people sitting in front of me, and that's really great. So I've called this the overall picture, and I've illustrated a lot of my overheads and also notes that go on the net with pictures. That's not to treat us like preschoolers, but it's because it's just to, one of the things we want to do is to meet all sorts of different learning styles. And some people are like me, we like pictures, we like diagrams, they hold a lot of information. And some people like to, see the big picture, then fill in the details. Other people like to build up the picture from the details. And some people like to learn hands-on, trying it out. Some people like to learn from words and being spoken to and so on. And so there's a lot of mixing and matching throughout the training to meet the different learning styles. So there's lots of little pictures in my stuff. So what are we doing in this training? And there's a focus on who we are and developing skills. Sorry, I just need to... How do I get this done? There we go. And developing wisdom. Wisdom is the real... I think wisdom is one of the major gifts that we need from God when we work with people. God's wisdom always comes with a freshness. It's often very straightforward and simple. And God brings solutions to human problems through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, through his presence with us, sometimes in very imperceptible ways. So it's developing who we are as people working with people. And very importantly, Joel, in his talk to us last time, talked about the different kinds of assumptions that govern people's way of working. You know, how we think about people and about their problems and so on, we'll look at a slide on that a little bit later, guides the way we work with them, the way we understand their problems, the way we understand how they're going to be helped. And it's very important that we work from biblical assumptions towards biblical goals. Because a lot of us will have had interaction with secular styles of working and they're not the same. And we want to really stick to the biblical point of view of who people are and what helps them change. Our major goal in change is sanctification. And we'll say a little bit more about that later on. That's a big, horrible, difficult word, but it's a wonderful word as well. And that's the whole process of the ongoing process of change through the Word, through the Spirit, through the community of God's people that transforms us, matures us, develops us. We're not the ready-made article when we get saved, thank God. There's a process of growth and transformation in our lives. And one of the things I really want you to hold on to most strongly, and I'll keep bringing this up, is that we need to work with the whole person. Quite often our styles of working can focus on one or another aspect of the person. And we're going to look quite a lot today at the mind, how we think. But we mustn't get stuck on that, because God sees us as whole people. What's happening in our lives physically is significant on how we think and feel and the decisions we make. Just as how we think about ourselves and in our world will impact our decisions and our emotions. Choices we make are very much driven by our emotions and also by our thinking. So it all works together around our relationship with God. And I'll show you a slide that brings that into focus in a little while. And our main purpose is facilitating change, obviously. I mean, you guys know all this, but it's just to clarify. And it's through the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit. Ben? So just a very simple definition of what we're doing. We're people interacting with people seeking help in God's love, power, and truth to help them grow in Christ-likeness. Again, it's another big concept, Christ-likeness. I wonder how well we really know Jesus. But we're on a journey getting to know him better. And we're journeying with other people who are also getting to know him better. And it's in the getting to know Jesus, it's in the gazing at this wonderful Savior, this beautiful Son of God who perfectly represents the Father, that we are transformed. And so that's really what our main remit is, coming alongside people seeking help, working in God's love and power and his truth. Journeying alongside them. So in the next one, please. So in the process, we will already have covered certain aspects of who we are as the helper, some skills to love and know, which to do with listening, accepting, developing rapport, being non-judgmental, taking time to understand, no matter how difficult, complicated, or offensive even that the problem the person may bring, you know, we start off with grace. We start off with that acceptance. That's how God meets us in our needs, with grace. And then we move on to truth, where we know things, we think in our minds, we know the word, we can speak, we can help people to plan and to do the will of God. So that's the kind of little, you know, the process. So we're working on developing us as helpers. And we're working on also being those hands that bless and bring prayer and the power of the name of Jesus to bring change in people's lives. And some of the stuff that will come up today will be to do with ethics, because we need to stand on 2 feet balanced in ethics, in that we interact with people to keep them safe and do no harm. These are guiding principles, and that's really important. We also need to be sure that we're meeting legal requirements in our country and that we're not overstepping boundaries as people helping people, that we know where our remit ends. So that's why Jack carefully helped us to understand that we're not social workers, we're not psychotherapists, we're not doctors, we're not people who are supposed to be, you know, working with people psychiatrically. We're there just to come alongside people with the love and the power of God to help them. And we need to stand in our own integrity as Christians, as people who love God, as people who pray, as people who are working on our own difficulties and needs, because that integrity and who we are is the major impact, has a major impact on the people we're working with and how we work with them. So we're working on ourselves. And we have assumptions which guide our thinking. I mentioned that earlier on. How, next slide, please. How we think will govern how we work, how we understand things, and will also govern our goals and guide our choices. So in order to, and we have assumptions about what makes people tick. You know, what actually, how do they work? And we may not always have articulated that or be consciously aware of that, but we have assumptions. And sometimes those are just cultural assumptions. And again, we need to be careful that we're biblically informed. What, you know, what goes wrong with people? We have assumptions and thoughts about that as well. And what do we need to do to help people tick again, as it were, come back together again, be mended, be helped? And so in order, these are some basic biblical assumptions about change. I'll bang on about the great exchange again and again, because that is a major kind of theological doctrine on which our work is based, that we are no longer in Adam. We are in Christ. We've been transformed. The living Christ lives within us. We're in resurrection life in our inner being. We're overcomers because the power of Christ is within us. Jesus' nature is being outworked within us. God is sanctifying us through the Holy Spirit. We are completely different people. And I know that every time I come back to this, I think more, I learn more, I become more established in God. This is a major understanding, both about ourselves as helpers, but about the people we're helping with as well. God is at work in them. And part of our work is to work with God in others and allow God to work in ourselves. So really standing on that knowledge of who we have become in Christ is foundational to change. And keep focusing on that. I never tire of this. And you too, keep focusing on what Jesus has done. You know, we'll spend eternity trying to understand what Jesus really accomplished for us. So vast, so great, how so deep, so high is that love and that power that has been released through his resurrection and that transformation that will carry us through eternity. So we have a new nature that wants to please God and is able to please God. In our old Adamic nature, we were totally unable to please God, and we've been transformed, turned around on the inside. And people are transformed through gazing. It's In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul talks about that, that it's as we gaze at Christ, as we absorb his word, as we worship him, as we come to him with our hearts and minds and with our problems and needs, we are transformed, we're metamorphosed. It's that beautiful sense of being turned from hairy caterpillars into flying butterflies. And that's the actual significance behind that word, transformation, that it is as profound and as complete as that, that these hairy creeping caterpillars of who we once were go into the chrysalis of the life of God, if you like, and emerge as these butterflies that fly and bring pleasure and look beautiful. And the process or the means of that transformation is by knowing. You know, I think so much about Ephesians 1:18, where Paul talks about praying for a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might know the Father, knowing the love of God for us, the length, breadth, height, depth is so securing, and again is the root and the foundation of change, is knowing the love of the Father, and keep going back to that for yourselves and keep helping others to go back to that, be marinated in that, be transformed by the love of the Father for us, by having become children of the Father, and this and the knowledge of being seated in Christ. We're not struggling to get into a position of being in with God or being in a position of authority or being overcomers. We are seated already with the risen Christ in the heavenly realms. We have to, you know, this is counterintuitive. It's not how we think, and we have to keep going back to scriptures like that, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal what does that really mean for my life, the change in my life and the change in other people's life. And we need to walk in the Spirit. It's by walking in the Spirit that our behavior changes as the Spirit draws us into Christ-likeness and we are inheriting eternal life. How we live now has a major impact on our position in the heavenly realms, on the ways in which God will reward us in the life to come. It's a very, very significant thing. So we're building into people this sense of being transformed through the Word of God. And just these are some of the, just you could add to this list almost ad infinitum, the great exchange. We were in Adam, we now are in Christ. We were dead in trespasses and sins, we are now raised up together with Christ. We once had a sin nature which governed all of what we did. We now have a new Christ-like nature that's drawing us into Christ-likeness. We were under judgment, we are now in grace. I mean, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. And this is what we want to build as the basis for our assumptions about the people that we're working with. That change is of the Spirit, it's of God, it's the very nature of who we have become is to be changed. So that's our major assumption when we think about people and change God wants to bring. And just to also another kind of really important understanding. Can we go on to the next one? Sorry, I've missed a few, I think. The major goal in sanctification. Biblical assumptions, I beg your pardon, Ben. So the great exchange, the new nature, the transformation that God is working in us. And the next one. And then just, yeah, this... Oh, that does come up in bits. Great stuff. And then if our major goal is sanctification, I think we can get muddled about what the Bible calls justification as opposed to sanctification. And again, keep this in mind. We have been justified. When we're saved, when we come into salvation, we are placed in Christ positionally before the Father. We're placed in his finished work. We receive his gift of perfect righteousness. We're seen as holy and blameless before the Father. The Father sees us in Christ, and that is a permanent gift because of coming into salvation. It doesn't change. But sanctification is that ongoing process of transformation. In a sense, as we become inwardly what we have already been made outwardly in the presence of God. And that's what we're working with. So, and people get muddled about this. And again, sometimes just going back to the basis of salvation, that we're secure, that it doesn't change. The Father has done a miracle. There's been a complete miracle happened in us, that the new life of Christ has come into us, and that will never change. And so our standing before God is never on the basis of how well we're doing. It's always on the basis of what Jesus has done for us. But then there is a process of being made holy, pure, and being sanctified by the Spirit and by the Word of God at work within us. So just because people get muddled about this, so I'm sure you understand it. And then we are working with the whole person in context. Next slide, please. This is a picture that we'll come back to again and again because it holds together all of who we are. So first of all, we're people who relate to God through our thoughts, our feelings, through our in our bodies, through the activity of the Holy Spirit within us, in the ways we choose. And each of those areas of function within us interact with each other. How we think affects us physically, affects our feelings. Sometimes our feelings affect how we think. If we're physically ill, that may well affect how we feel and how we think and the choices we make. So each aspect of ourselves interacts with the other. But today we're going to look at particularly thoughts, and I think probably that's possibly one of the most significant areas of change is in our thought life. We also have a context within the present and within the past, and when you work with people, it's important to keep that aspect in mind, that their present lives has an impact on how they're feeling, on what they're doing, and you may have to deal with crises in their present lives and things that are happening, practical things in their lives before you can deal with anything else. And there are past influences that have shaped them, beliefs about themselves. We'll look at that a bit more. And I want you to hold this in mind, particularly when Lizzie comes to do a section on the thought records, which is a beautiful tool to help change our thinking. But it also helps us understand ourselves better as people who feel things. Emotions are very physical, if you think about it. Fear is a very physical thing. Anger is a very physical thing. Love is a very physical thing. And we tend to dissociate these aspects of ourselves, but they all work together. And so Lizzie's going to use the thought record to help us understand the whole person, because we're not working with just one bit of the person. And there's a process of change that we need to be aware of. People who are in crisis, we really need to deal with the crises first. Someone who has serious debt problems, really, that's the first thing to deal with. And people usually have a sense of what change is going to be most meaningful to them. So we need to ask that. And I loved when Angela Kem was here, that question, what would you like Jesus to do for you? And so that's a major way of understanding the primary and the strongest motivation for change in the person, because we may have ideas about how they should be changing, but we need to work with what is driving their desires for change. If we feel that these are at odds with one another, then we need to negotiate with them, talk with them about what we may feel is more important. So, for instance, somebody who comes to you worrying about, I'm just making up an example in my mind right now, worrying about their finances, but in fact they're spending a lot of money on recreational things or on gadgets and you know, toys, if you like. Really, that's probably what needs to be dealt with first, rather than their debt problem. Why are they focused and preoccupied with gadgets or with games or with whatever it is that's absorbing their attention? And that can be talked about so that you have a mutual goal in bringing people through the process of change. And of course, we are working very much with the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people need to be brought into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We ourselves need to be baptized in the Spirit. We need to know the Holy Spirit. We need to know how the Holy Spirit works with us and to be sensitive and attuned to Him throughout the process of working with other people. We need to pray in the Spirit. And that's both in English and whatever prayer language God may have given to us. We need to have confidence to receive gifts from God to help us, gifts of wisdom and knowledge and gifts of faith to bring healing and to bring change, to pray for change in or around people's lives. Sometimes tongues and interpretation are part of how we work with people. Sometimes God gives me a tongue that's like a war tongue, and it's full of sort of energy and it kind of got a fight in it, and when that happens and I bring that, it's often people get delivered or something changes in the heavenlies because God's given this tongue that cries out to Him for the transformation He's making and bringing in that person. So, you know, go with the flow, take the risks. Trust the perceptions that come to mind, the little things that drop into your mind out of nowhere. Trust the Holy Spirit's leading in your working with people. Sometimes the prophetic comes into the counseling room, and that can be very powerful. Be careful there that you don't bring a directive prophetic stuff, dates and mates and that sort of thing. We're just very careful, and always ask the person to weigh whatever you may bring prophetically, to take it to their pastoral leadership and weigh it. But sometimes the prophetic, you know, the words we speak release vision into people's lives, release them to become what God may have them. And you may see something in somebody that they've not yet seen, and speaking prophetically into what you see in somebody can bring huge transformation and confidence and a sense of vision for their future. So be people who know the Holy Spirit and run after Him. And then we are people also in the Spirit. We can lay hands on people for healing, for deliverance, and for impartation. And that may be part of what we're doing. So just to sum up, we're people interacting with people seeking help in the love, power, and the Word of God to help them grow in Christ-likeness. As helpers, we have a heart to love and know, a mind to speak and do, hands to bless, and 2 feet to keep us balanced. We work from biblical assumptions about people, about the biblical goals of sanctification and change. We work with the whole person, their physical, people who think, have feelings, people who make choices, and also have a relationship with God. We recognize there's a process of change, and we work with the person to agree goals, and we pray in the Spirit and receive His gifts and power. So that's just an overall picture to guide our training. And we've done bits of this along the way, but I just felt with Jack it would be useful to give you an overall picture of what we're actually doing.
Great, isn't it? Just get totally inspired. Isn't it wonderful too to know that you're not on your own when you get alongside people, that you're in God's hand and He's guiding you and inspiring you and with you and covers over, takes the responsibility and everything. So okay, so what we're going to do, I'm going to split you into groups of four very quickly, and we're going to do a little exercise. I can see you really don't want to move. It's morning, isn't it? Oh, there we go. cluster into little groups of four and face each other. You can move your chairs, they're not stuck. No, we'll be all right. We'll be fine.
Was I too long?
No, it's fine. We'll call it back. We'll be fine. You'll need someone who just will write for you. It can be a little scribe person. So select that person and they can use their notebook. So I want you to think now that you're somebody who's got... all right, we're having problems with counting. It's all right. Are you worried? No, it doesn't have to be an exact four. It could be a three or a five. Because we're quite flexible. But we like fours. You're right. So I just want you to now think that you are coming to somebody for help. Something's kicked off in your life or something's flagging up in your life and you need to just talk to somebody. You've got to that point where you think, oh, I can't do this on my own, or even if I'd like to, I really do need to get alongside with someone so that they can help me think my way through this. And so these are questions that I want you to ask now and discuss amongst yourselves for just a few minutes. What makes me feel safe? If I'm going to bring something to somebody, I want to know that, I'm not going to tell you actually what I want to know. I'm going to let you think about what you want to know or what makes you feel safe. When do you feel unsafe? What reassurances would I want from someone if I were going to tell my story? And then decide in your little group what kind of assurances you'd want in place. And are they realistic and are they manageable? Just think about that. So you're just going to get a few minutes to sort of talk together and make some decisions on these points. So when your marks are set, go.